Welcome to On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin, powered by Texas Kidney Foundation, where we are unapologetically patient first and building coalitions with others to address kidney health for all. And we're back with another episode of On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin. And I've got my favorite comedian here. Like, I was looking at you just last night with my daughter.
Yeah.
Yes, because of the Martin Show, the wonderful Reginald Ballard, and I have our special guest, Mr.
Justin.
My brain just went crazy.
And Justin,
our special
Charles
guest,
Evans.
Mr. Justin Charles Evans. Justin, my brain just went blank for a second. Justin, you have gone through a major ordeal with dialysis and with kidney disease. And we've been talking to you and keeping up with your story. Can you tell us, you know, I want to jump right into the space where you talked to us about how you died and what that meant for you.
I died through like high potassium and low electrolytes is what they told me. My heart just stopped. Your heart stops. Like, for those that don't know, and I found this out, I learned it, the best way to explain it is when they're putting animals down, they'll give them too much potassium and it just stops the heart. So when you're doing dialysis, that's the constant fight, is to keep your phosphorus down and your potassium down. And for those that don't know, phosphorus, what is phosphorus? Because I didn't know. And it took me about five, some years for them to really break it down. Phosphorus are preservatives. Do you know what preservatives are in? They're in your jelly. They're in everything.
Whole lot of stuff, yeah.
Whole lot of stuff. So then you really think about what you can really eat. But that's here or there. Potassium, I was thinking I was eating healthy and until I started to really learn, like, potassium's in spinach. You can't really do spinach and you can't do... You think you're eating the right things. Tomatoes. No
oranges.
Yeah, no potatoes. But what they don't tell you is there's ways that you can get... You can get around that, too. And you can, like, potatoes or rice. Let's say rice. You cook the rice, you put it in the refrigerator for 24 hours, and I had a nurse tell me this, they never tell you this, you put it in for, and all the starch leaks out of it. And most of the problem that we're having anyway is inflammation. So if you do things that you have lack of inflammation, a lot of these things don't happen. And then they want to tell you to eat white rice, but for me, I know what causes candida is sugar, so you know what, rice turns into sugar, and then, you can eat bread. They tell you don't... What did they say? Eat white bread. Don't eat multigrain bread. What sense does that make? You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like little things that's going to cause things to trigger or be worse. And with these little things, half of these people, they're not on a strict diet or regimen anyway. So it doesn't cause anything but something minor to cause something to inflame. If you already have an underlying thing of diabetes, and I see some people just sitting there eat, you know, whatever. Or let's use, for example, they give me a protein bar, and I told them to their face, I was like, you know, if y'all really want, I come in there with an egg muffin. Because if you want to give me this protein, it's a sugar bar, man. And I just sat here and worked out, so that we ain't got to do this. And then, Mr. Evans, I guess you did pay. Yes, Mr. Evans did. I'm sitting there telling them what my dietitian, so it's a joke. And even Arlene saw it was a joke when these dietitians want to come in there and tell you stuff. And they're way off.
Well,
so your potassium got real high?
My potassium got high. This is how it happened. I'm an advocate of not going to the hospital, because when I go to the hospital, I get kidnapped. They'll keep you for 3 days. They'll run all these tests when they know you got to do dialysis. So I wasn't going to the hospital, but I talked to my mother. She was like, Justin, please just go. You don't feel. And I felt a little different.
Tell people what you mean when you say kidnap. You mean that you cannot leave the hospital.
You cannot. Let me tell you why you cannot leave the hospital. Mm-hmm. Because if you leave the hospital, they say that you sign AMA, which means against medical advice. Yes. Oh, I don't care. I'm going to leave anyway. Well, they don't tell you. You get that whole check. Nothing is written off. No insurance can pay if you leave against medical advice. Yeah. And who got? I have plenty of $200,000+ bills from the hospital. Who can pay that? I remember the last time they gave me a $200,000 bill. I told them I can't leave your hospital, and I didn't. And they said, Mr. Evans, you got to leave. Mr. Evans walked down there with his gown open in the back, and I walked all the way to the thing. And they said, and I said, I just can't. I'm going to have to go home and kill myself. I got these bills. You know, they said, oh, we have a fund for it. I'm talking about $200,000 now.
Wow.
We have a fund for it, and they paid it just like that.
Ain't that so?
And you can't sign out.
That's why
you'll hear people saying that you have to stay, because
you kidnapped. It's a legal kidnapping.
Yeah,
it's a legal kidnapping, and they do it through laws. I was going to say that earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt you. But a lot of this stuff is laws, and then when you learn the law, it's cool. We'll just change it, and they'll change the law. This is how they've had us for a long time, and this is what's continuing to go on. And who's going to call it out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why there have to be people like you. So you had the you were dialyzing in the hospital. You're trying to go to dialyze in.
No. I hadn't even dialyzed in the hospital. I went through the ER because my mom wanted me to go.
Okay.
I got to the ER. They admitted me. I was in there, and the next thing I know, it was 3 days later. I woke up. So I had fought with my mom all that day. And then finally, because she said it, and another friend said, just go to the hospital. I went to the hospital, and I died as soon as I got in there.
Oh, wow.
Thank goodness you went.
Thank goodness I listened, right?
Yes.
I'm a little stubborn sometimes. But yeah, thank goodness I listened. And I died like 30 minutes after I got in there. All I remember is checking in and putting the blood pressure cuff on. And the next thing, it was like I woke up, and I was very well rested. My mom said she talked to me, and I cried. I had another friend come, and she prayed over me and rubbed my feet. And I don't remember any of that. I do remember being feeling real calm when I woke up. And I remember...
You didn't walk toward the light, did you?
Man, I think I am the light.
Okay, I got you.
I feel like that next 3 months was hell. And the reason why is because, like, I've been blown out of buildings. In 2012, I survived a cruise crash. Like, I have been
really?
In some, huh?
The one off of Italy.
Really?
He was in that crash.
Yeah, Costa Concordia. Yeah, the one that the captain jumped. And so I've been hit by a car in 2018. I have been through some stuff, and I've actually signed up for a lot of this dangerous stuff, thrown, you know. And I think I had a death wish at some point, or something. I just didn't know what was going to happen. But I think after I died, and especially being a gymnast too, like you would do hard skills and you would continue to do them even though you were scared. So getting over fears is big for me, right? But when I died, I was scared of everything. Like riding in the car, it felt like, oh, this is going to happen. Because it was a reality that I died.
Yeah.
I had been skipping death for a while, right?
Wow.
But it was a reality, like, and that was just like, it was like, and everybody, oh, did you have dreams or did you do? Nah, I rested. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe my life is dreams.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, man, it's like, you know, you seem like, you know, you could feel and it seemed like, you know, you're a special person because of the stuff you've been. And I feel like that myself sometimes, because I know when I was going through the dialysis, man, you know, all the people in, like you were talking about the phosphorus and the potassium and the proteins and all that stuff, man. I was the only one. It was 25 of us in this dialysis center. And out of all the people, the doctor told me, say, hey, man, I don't know what it is about you, but you need to eat bananas. You need to eat tomatoes because your potassium is low. He's like, your protein is low. We need to get your protein. It was like everything that happened, that people say happened to them in dialysis, was reversed with me. It's like I had the energy.
With Caucasians, is normally with people that have a lot of money. I think I made a lot of people mad. And when I didn't act like a black person, like they would have expected me to act, it pissed them off even more because I write letters.
Like the stereotype they have of black people.
You know what I'm saying?
And
so they could never blame me and truly get me out like they wanted to. You see? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I would have so many people involved that it was people watching them.
Well, yeah, I would say, when back to the medicine part, back to what y'all were saying about how each one of you was different. You know, mm-hmm. that is what we're learning with precision medicine. We shouldn't have this idea that you just do this one treatment and you do it this one way for everybody.
Right.
Because, as you said, there are things that you needed.
Yeah.
And especially dietarily. Yeah. Both of you are saying, dietarily, there was so much that could be done for each of you.
Because it was a big difference between him and me. It's like his potassium was high. My stuff was low. And usually kidney patients' potassium be high. You know, but my junk was low. And he was telling me to eat stuff that I didn't want to eat because I wasn't eating meat at the time. I was like, no, I don't want to eat. They were telling me, you got to eat meat
before
you go into the surgery. We want your protein to go higher. We needed protein to go higher. And that's all that they were telling me. You know, so it's just like now. I haven't ate meat, you know, since last Christmas, the Christmas before this past Christmas, whole year. I mean, he meat. So the doctor called me and said, hey, man, you know, your B12 is low. Your B12 is low. We need to get you, need to eat some, you know, meat. And my kidney, when I told Tiff last week, a couple weeks ago?
It was
1.2, my creatinine. So I've been eating meat. It went to 1.4 now. So from 1.2 to 1.4, so I've been eating meat. I'm getting back off. Because
you know what I'm saying? Like, so, and this is what Dr. Sebi.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So, this is what Dr. Sebi preached. And when I bring this stuff up to them, it's always a problem. It's always a reason why it's not. It's always something. So,
and there's all kinds of evidence, by the way, that supports what each one of you is saying about plant-based diet, because for some people finding out that a plant-based diet works very well for many kidney patients.
That's now, why they feel evidence. They're inducing this. They're inducing this. They're causing people to have and do certain things that would cause this to prolong or to happen. I kid you not. I'm just sitting here like, where they give give you 4 hours a day to sit in a dialysis chair and they think you're going to be sitting there sad. I'm studying what they're doing.
Because it's lack of knowledge, man. It's lack of knowledge.
It's lack of knowledge.
The main thing is that people, the elephant in the room is nutrition. Because we've been taught all these years with the food pyramid about the milk, about the steak, the meat, and all that. And when you put all that protein on your kidneys, you know, and we as Americans eat meat three, four times a day, sometimes five. In between snacks, we still eat some kind of sandwich or some kind of meat. And that's a lot of protein to put on your kidneys, you know what I mean? Every day, all day, 24/7, I mean, you putting protein, 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 protein. And that's not the type of protein I think we need on our kidneys, man.
The chemicals that they're putting in the meats, if you actually just go on Google or YouTube, you can actually see like some of the stuff that they inject to plump the meat or to do things.
Yeah.
And you don't really think about it like it's done in mass production. So you're getting it one way or the other. You see,
well, what you're saying, shocking. What you all are saying, the evidence is there is evidence out there that supports exactly what you're saying about plant-based diet and about the hormones that are put in the meat and about red meat, chicken, and fish, and how each one of them affect your body. Because there are some things that are easier on your body than others. And there's evidence now that's coming out about the difference in people and precision medicine. How important it is that your therapeutics, that your lifestyle changes are specifically to you, that they're looking at you. Because there's, you know, every single person is different. And it stands to reason that that's true, because when you look at the kidney, each person's kidney is different. Your kidney is made up of different cells than, you know, the cell composition isn't exactly the same for every single person. And when you start reading this stuff, it's like, oh, well, are we operating one size fits all in medicine? When you're saying to us that Tiffany needs to have a certain thing, Justin needs a certain thing, and if you're going to tell me that, then how are you going to come back and then piss in my ear and tell me that it's rainwater and go, oh, this treatment works for everybody. The same for everybody.
Did you know that when they do a transplant that they don't even take your old kidneys out? They just put... I didn't know that.
Don't they like shrivel up or something like that? I don't know. I don't know what happens to them once they're in there.
I think with stem cell they can turn back on.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. We're putting out no information.
Disclaimer, right? I don't know what happened with the kidneys. You know, I could have peed mine out. I don't know.
You are such a nut. No, but really, when we're talking about individuals, then we should be talking about individual plans, and it shouldn't be. I wonder, like when I'm dealing with my own health and I'm talking to my care team, it's always a question mark when I go to see a cardiologist and the cardiologist is in worse shape than I am. You know, the cardiologist has a bigger weight problem than I do. I'm like, no, brother, you can't. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. Like, we both tipping the scales. I don't see how you go...
Yeah, and that's too, because everybody, you know, now they got this new thing out about eating according to your, man, we talked about this before in another episode of the show, about eating according to your blood type, you know, because I'm AB positive. Me and my wife A positive, so we A positive. So they say people that's A positive not supposed to eat meat. You know, people that's old are meat eaters. So, you know, you have different things and you know, they don't tell you, you know, according to your blood type, what you're supposed to eat, because they don't know. They don't know. Medicine. It's not anything about nutrition. It's medicine. So I had a nutritionist. I think she's a pretty good nutritionist, because by me being a diabetic, I told her, I said, I like to eat fruit. She said, well, if you eat apple or whatever you eat, make sure you eat nuts behind it, because it's the protein. It'll balance off the sugar spikes. And when I do that, I notice it does. It don't make my sugar go up as high as if I ate just a regular apple. If I eat apple and eat almonds or something behind it, you know, my sugar won't spike as fast and as high. You know, so, you know, you have to get a nutritionist, because medicine doctors are not going to tell you you'll eat here, because they don't know. So, you know, if we don't find that out, then we're doing more harm and good to our bodies when we don't eat the stuff that according to what we're supposed to eat and the diagnosis that we have, you know, by being a diabetic. I know you're supposed to eat sugar, you know, but.
And that's the place like where we can, the food is medicine. We know food is medicine.
Right.
Food is where you can win this. And that's where we have the most agency as patients. That's where we can go, you know what, I'm clearing out my cupboard. You know, the things in here that don't work for me, I'm going to start clearing this stuff out. And that doesn't mean you have to do everything today, because this is a lifestyle. You're trying to change your lifestyle. So you take the steps that you need to take, but know that there are other people there that are on the road with you, because that's literally why we do what we do, is to make sure, and I'm talking about we as in the Texas Kidney Foundation, is to make sure, my day job, that's to make sure that people have all the resources that they need.
Right.
And that they understand.
And like Justin, and as Justin does, always ask the questions, man. I don't care how mad they get to
Justin is doing the right thing.
Or how dumb it may seem, is no dumb question. If you don't know the answer to it, then how can it be dumb? You got to ask the question to get the answer.
That's right.
And, you know, if you have doctors that get upset because you're asking questions, then you need to find another doctor.
Yes, because, and see, that is where the problem lies, is that when you have a situation where there is not another doctor that you can go to in terms of the whole program, right? We're talking about spaces where there's only two places to choose from, and between those two, they kind of work silently together. You've got a lot of folks working together. And so if you go against one, you're going against both. Or you can get marked by going. And it's not even you're going against anybody. Asking someone, hey, why is the office closed today? I'm supposed to receive services today. And this is your third time in the last 2 months to close. And, you know, this is a life-sustaining therapeutic. So I really would feel more comfortable knowing in advance what's going to happen. And what's going on? Like, you should be able to ask that.
Is a difference too, though, between asking questions and giving diagnosis. Like my wife, she gives a diagnosis of herself. She's like, I think I got MS. So, you know, you tell him you're hypochondriac. She tell him the doctor what she thinks she got. You know, they like, yeah, you don't have no MS. Okay. Well, when I do this, I do that. Well, you don't have no MS. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's different between asking questions and going to the doctor and giving your own diagnosis of yourself. Because that's when they get real mad. Like, okay, you know more than me now. But asking questions, ask questions.
You know, you should ask questions, and you shouldn't have to be afraid.
Well, let me add to that when you say you're knowing more than me. I've also been to, and this you have to be careful with too. I had doctors because they were giving me medicine and it was causing me to get nauseated. So then they gave me other medicine for the nausea medicine. And when I had a little bit of money, I went to a holistic doctor, a Chinese doctor, I think. And he basically, he gave me distilled aloe vera. And not only did it clear up my skin, which they have, you have all these skin issues with dialysis, with the phosphorus leaking in through your skin, but it got rid of the nausea. So I took that back to my doctor and I told him, I said, I'm better, but it's not from this and I'm not taking this nausea. And he was like, oh, this is just aloe vera. I was like, well, you knew about it? And he said, yeah, I did know about it. He said, but it's not FDA approved. So even if I did, I can't say anything about it. And I told him his face. He told me that, yes, ma'am, I took it to him. And I told him, I said, you don't have my best interest at heart, so I won't be looking to you to help me to do nothing else.
Wow.
I spent my own money to do that. And then let's go with my own money. I have an infrared sauna downstairs, and I never knew why it was helping me so much, but it puts more oxygen to the blood. So it was a reason why I was going to the infrared sauna all this time, because just like the chicken that you put in the infrared oven and it heats from the inside out and continues to cycle and never burns the chicken, it does that to your body. So it heats you from the organs first and clean them out. And I never knew why I love infrared heat. That's not taught. Getting rid of phosphorus via sweating and working out every day. I'm sitting out here in the sun right now because that's what I have to do when I get out of dialysis. You see what I'm saying? None of this is taught. But there's ways to make this situation better.
There's all kinds of lifestyle changes.
It goes back to what Tiffany said about doctors and their protocol. They follow a strict protocol. Uh-huh. And they don't deviate from that. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's fear of being sued or what it is, but you know, there are ways that doctors know that probably can help you better than just giving you medicine. And, but I guess they can't tell you that. Ain't that something?
And you've been listening to On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin, and we're going to come back and wrap this up.
At the heart of our healthcare challenges lies a critical issue: financial interests that don't always align with our health. It's time to confront this head on. Our focus? Chronic and rare kidney disease, a condition where effective treatments exist but are underutilized. We're pushing for policy changes, for realignments that put your health first. Be informed, be involved. Together, we can ensure that our healthcare system works for us, not just for profits.
And we're back with another episode of On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin. So we were just talking about some of the lifestyle things that we have agency. We can take control of some parts of our care and our health. And one of them, as you were both so eloquently discussing, is what we eat. You know, movement. What's going on in our bodies and how much we're moving is so important. But I heard you talking about being out in the sun. And, you know, there's evidence to that fact that you really do need to get out and walk for mental clarity.
Uh-huh.
Or move, however that movement is for you, because some people it's gardening, some people it's walking, some people it's
riding a bike.
You know, it's that
walking.
Stuff.
Welcome. You know, I went to Puerto Rico, and I didn't do dialysis for 6 days. In Dominican Republic as well. I didn't do dialysis, especially in Dominican. I didn't do dialysis for 6-7 days. Every time I ate food, the food was natural. They don't have high fructose corn syrup. My body wasn't swelling. And then I started to notice the magnesium in salt water. I'm telling you, in hot places, I'm always okay.
Really?
And so, yes. Hmm. I've done the studies. And then the salt water, I guess it's the magnesium in water. It does something for the body.
What did you do? What did you do for dialysis when you went there? You didn't dialyze, or you did dialyze?
You say did?
I don't know, because I ate everything I wanted to eat. Even the chicken tastes different because it wasn't poison like it is in the States. For real, everything tastes different. The fruits, they were so amazing. I mean, we stopped at this little stand, like this little store, and the food was better than any place you go and spend some real money on. And not even that, it's just not poisoned. Most of our stuff is slowly poisoned. So as Americans, we have all these conditions and all this stuff. It's because we're slowly getting poisoned every day. And when you don't consciously take things and do things like, I've started doing Aztec and clay, because Aztec and clay, it strips out the aluminums and the different types of metals that we get from most of the things that you or doing your apple cider vinegar or some of these other things. Then you're getting poisoned every day. And not only that, the meditation is important because we're fighting vibrational frequencies right and left. They've already made it a law to change from 432 hertz to 440 hertz because they know it traumatizes water. It traumatizes the cell, the blood, the cells. So we're listening to music that's damaging us. A lot of stuff on TV is damaging us. And because it's invisible, which you should have faith, then we're not even acknowledging that it's going on. And it's the most damaging thing to us. Pretty soon, I mean, we got to be really careful about these vibrational frequencies.
You know, I'm always very, very interested in food. in things that you can introduce into the environment and that we have so much control over. And I agree that organic food is so important to your well-being, because when I see a chicken that's organic and it's this big,
yeah,
you know, it's like this tiny chicken. And then you see the other chicken. And what's funny to me is that the marketing, gosh, there's so much marketing that I mean, you can hear the narratives, you know, oh, this is so much better. And look at how much more you get. Well, do we need that much more? That's why we're all, a lot bigger.
That little chicken that hatched, they said take 90 days to 120 days for that chicken to go from a baby chick to the grocery store as a full-blown chicken. That fast. That's how much they shoot them up with steroids. And, My daughter, my wife went to a restaurant, and my daughter's gluten intolerant. She can't deal with no gluten. Gluten makes her sick. Mm-hmm. So pasta has gluten in it. So she went to the restaurant, and she told us she wanted pasta with no gluten. Mm-hmm. And my wife ordered the same thing with gluten, you know, the regular pasta. My daughter, they switched the things. They gave my daughter the one with the gluten and gave my wife the one without gluten. So my daughter ate it. And the man came over and said, I'm so sorry, I gave you the wrong one. And so my daughter started getting nervous, but he said, don't worry, because this comes from Europe. And the pasta doesn't have the gluten. And, man, my daughter did not get sick at all from that.
Even when we think about bread is, I mean, old days it was like day old bread, right?
Regular bread.
Gluten
in it.
Yeah, so bread, and that's, again, preservatives, which is phosphorus. Mm-hmm. It's in everything.
When you start looking at that and just simply removing some of those things, you start removing that, your body, like the inflammation in your body, because the description of how you feel, I don't even know how to give a description to it, because you just feel so much better.
Yes.
When
I find myself, it's funny, when I find myself not eating in a day, I feel like I could do anything.
Yes.
I could do anything. Yes. I could walk, run, I mean, do, you know, then as soon as I put food in my body, I start feeling sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, maybe I need to just not eat for a few days, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and see what that'll do to my body, you know?
That's something
that us Americans, we as Americans, we don't do that. We don't, you know, how many times you can tell yourself, how many people have actually went 7 days without eating in their whole life? Ain't too many people done it. You feel like you're starving, man. And, you know, big people like myself and other people, it's like, dude, we have fat to burn. We could go for about 2 months without eating and still survive.
Well, you look at it and you start looking at fasting.
Uh-huh.
Everything in our environment, you've got all kinds of folks that are trying to tell you not to fast. But take a look at, you know, I always say follow the money, because a lot of what somebody's going to tell you depends on how their paycheck is being
paid.
Tell you not to fast, but they've got to tie it to X, you know. But the truth of the matter is that there's evidence that supports intermittent fasting, that supports the efficacy of that, and evidence that supports the efficacy of it in kidney patients. Because we're seeing, you know, that we have some great scientists. And see, that's what I talk about with Texas all the time. That Texas is a great place in terms of the free markets, because we have small dialysis companies, you know, that would be considered small, considering that the other two have 85% of the market share. But we still have those little companies that are in the little 15% here.
Right.
And when you go and see what level of care is being provided, that infusion of the other spaces helps create some competition so that You don't have, you can't just run roughshod on people, you know, because there's another place to go, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just good to let your organs and your body rest.
Yeah.
By not putting food on it. You know what I'm saying? Just let your kidneys rest sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Don't overload it every day. Sometimes just let it just sit back and say, yeah, let me regroup and get back.
And it's like the first time you fast, what you said is right, because I had heard all my life, oh, you shouldn't fast. It's bad for you, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, even in the very ethos that I ascribe to, I'm a Christian, it says in the Bible that you should fast. And people
that you should fast.
And so, you know, as soon as I fasted.
We have enough fat stored in our system, in our bodies, so that we can fast for weeks and still be healthy and get even healthier because we're burning some of the unnecessary fat that we have on it.
You feel, look, as soon as I fasted, I think I did a 3-day fast. It was a 3-day fast, but it wasn't a water fast. It was, I was drinking
juice,
broth. You know, broth. Oh, okay. I was drinking broth and I wasn't even drinking juices. I was drinking broth and having water. You know, that was it. That was my whole fast. And like day two, I had the best mental clarity. I didn't have that brain fog where you walk in a room and you forget why you walked in there.
Well, let's make this disclaimer right here. We ain't encouraging nobody to do nothing.
Yeah, we're not encouraging people to go fast. I'm not encouraging you. You go talk to your doctor. See what your doctor says.
We ain't encouraging nobody to go out there and suck vinegar all day.
You got to talk to your doc. I'm telling you what my experience was the first time I did it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, I
understand that I don't have to just eat all the time. And that was good for me as a person who had who had the opposite problem of other people where they, you know, they can just not eat or do whatever. I had always, you know, loved food and would eat for comfort and things like that. So it was part of breaking the mental cycle of feeling like I had to have. Food,
because we were taught like that all our lives. Our lives we were taught we supposed to eat at this time in the morning. You got to eat this in the afternoon. You eat this at night. You eat this, and in between you make a snack here and there. I mean, we've been taught that all our lives, man. And it's like that was I think that was the wrong thing to teach us, because now you eating when you're not even hungry.
Yeah. You know, in the morning
eat breakfast. You ain't even hungry for lunch. You just eating lunch because it's time to take a break.
Because it's time to eat lunch.
Or you were made to finish your plate like you felt it was a chore. If you left anything, then you were wasting. You never come back to it. You always had to finish. And that's a forceful tactic that stays with
you. And black people, that's why we got the problems that we have, right?
That's right.
We got the problems that we have because we taught to eat when we're not even hungry. Mm-hmm. I never made my kids do that because my grandmother and my mother used to make us eat everything. I remember there was a time I used to get steaks, man, like the smothered steaks used to make. I used to get them, man, and throw them behind the cabinet in the house, man. We had rats and stuff because they didn't know I was throwing the stuff back there because I didn't want to eat. I want to go outside and play. I already ate what I wanted to eat. I'm full now. You ain't going nowhere until you finish that plate.
Well, I had a lucky mom too. She didn't make us do that either. In fact, she taught us that was something that people did and made us like not. Because I grew up in Mississippi, and Mississippi is one of the most overweight states that there is in obese. Yeah. So she would always watch us on that, and then you know watch what we would eat.
Nah, we had to eat everything. I never, and my kids, both my kids, slim, and you know, like they never ate. We never made them do that, man. I wish they'd made me do it. But you know, I threw a lot of food away, boy, and it was behind the cabinets.
Wow, ooh, gross.
Oh, I know. sometimes I used to throw it in the trash, right? And I used to take the trash out, and my grandma's like, "Boy, you ain't taking that trash out when nobody asking you." So she used to know I threw it in the trash.
Now, Justin, I want to get back to you and where you're at in your headspace now. Are you looking to get a transplant?
I am looking to get a transplant. My thing right now is I am getting my Medicare together, apparently. I have
Medicare. Because you have to have Part B.
You have to have Part B.
And Part A.
And it's cleared, so I have proof that I do have Medicare Part B, but it's showing in the system that I don't have Medicare Part B. So I am going to Social Security Administration. And my dialysis company even gave me the paper because they actually helped me pay for it through National Kidney Foundation. I think that's
no, it's
right.
not National Kidney Foundation. It's American Kidney Fund. American Kidney
American
Fund.
Kidney Fund. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they do that.
Mm-hmm. And now it's showing that I don't have it. So it's this is the rhetoric that I was talking about that I kind of have to go through. So once that's done, then I can go through the National Kidney Registry.
Yes.
And I have some amazing people that are willing to help me, especially with, Tom Mueller writing his book and them knowing, the situation that I've been in that has been totally out of my hands.
I like all the legislative stuff you've been doing. Like, you have really been pushing to change.
And you know what? That's like totally out of my spectrum. I don't even really like watching politics and stuff like that. But I guess when your life is on the line and it's kind of like for a while I tried to have other people do it. But, it's like other people taking on something that's going to affect my life. And some people had my interest at heart. And what I found out later on is some people that were working very closely, they didn't. And they had their own agenda. And for what this was just something that was personal for me because it was obviously affecting me in a health standpoint. But this was like a monetary thing for some people. And some people, they are way better actors than the ones that are on TV.
The thing about what you're doing legislatively is that very few people can tell your story besides you. It's really when you it's just like with Reginald. I always bring Reg on because nobody can tell his story better than him. I can tell you how moved I am by it. When you hear it from him, that's very different. And it's the same thing with you. Like when with this particular fight that we're all in for people's health, mm-hmm. when you're talking about a person's health, that person is the one who really has to tell their story because there are nuances to your story, Justin, that when you start talking, you tell another little piece, peel back another layer of the onion every single time.
Let me stop you there. Everything that happened to me is by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. I am still here because I'm like Job. I will suffer and I will still praise the Most High and tell others about him. So for whatever I've made it through, it's because God conditioned me to be able to go through these traumatic things and these deadly things. You see what I'm saying? And I was doing it for fun before I started doing it with the medical industry. So I have I have a running joke in my head because I went from Hollywood, that they say, to the medical industry. And all of this has to do with blood.
You're a stuntman for Kevin Hart for what was the
Lucas from Stranger Things?
Stranger Things.
The start of the new Wonder Years, Coming to America too. I had a little bit of that.
Huge productions that everybody loves and knows. So you had a successful career going. Great career going. This sidetracks your life.
For sure.
And, it's just, the way that you study what's going on around you, that's a good thing. It's a good
thing. It's a blessing. I had a mom that did not, she owns a daycare, but she never taught us as kids, like, if we didn't know something, you know how people, go sit down somewhere, you know, or my mama always, you need to figure it out and you need to come and tell me. And so I got that early on. And then when we would get in trouble or something, she would make us write like paragraphs and make sure we indented and do all of this. And then she would whoop our butts after we wrote it. He went and did. So a lot of this stuff I had to do in general just because of the way I was raised. And lo and behold, it came back to help me that from being raised, actually. From being raised, a lot of people aren't raised these days. Like, you know, coming from Mississippi, I don't know.
But I'm going to tell you, watching you go through this, you know, I just want to make sure you realize that you're not alone. There are so many of us that are on your side. And your story is very reflective of what we've seen happen to a lot of people in the kidney world, and in that you get thrown into this and you don't necessarily know how to navigate it, because most people don't know what to do in regards to kidney disease. It's not something in regards to end-stage renal disease. You know, you become an expert, quote unquote, really fast, because you're thrown into it. This is your life now.
Yes.
And to see you asking questions, because that's what we tell all of our constituents, is to ask questions, and they should ask questions, because that's the only way you get to what is the right path for you. And to
but you'll only ask questions if you have the mental capacity to ask questions. And when you're thrown into something, then it's always an abrupt something, right? So most times you're thinking of all these new things that's going around than to even ask about sometimes what's in front of you. That's why they say they hide what they want right in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have the mental capacity. You're figuring out the fact that, oh my God, my I'm not urinating anymore, or oh my God, some of the other functions that most people don't even know goes on with kidney disease patients. Like, I tell people, like, they're like, oh, you don't urinate. No, I didn't know that most people didn't urinate, that don't have kidney. Yeah. Or they don't understand that different parts of their body, like, they never understand what the lesions or different things on their skin is. They just think these people have bad skin. It's the phosphorus leaking through their skin. And that same phosphorus is leaking through their skin. It's happening in their teeth. Some of them start losing their teeth. Like, I started having problems with my teeth and going through this, and nobody tells you that this is going to happen.
Right, Justin.
We're going to follow you as we're going along in this, as you're going along in the process of getting your transplant. And we believe with you that that's what you're going to end up with. But you got to get your work up and find out what they have to say. But this has been very enlightening. We got about 2 minutes. So can you wrap up, and what would you like for people to leave knowing? Justin?
Well, as far as me, I would like people to just, you know, get checked, man. Get screened. Get follow. I mean, go and you know, be serious. Take your health seriously. You know, don't just think, especially if it's in your, if heart disease, diabetes, and kidney disease run in your family, you should run to the doctor right now. Just Amen. Check yourself out.
Yeah.
And that's what I leave with.
And similar for me, prevention, and beyond that, promote yourself with a healthy lifestyle. Don't go on these diets and trends and fads and all of this. Promote a healthy lifestyle. For me, I promoted a healthy lifestyle, and I still find that the only way that I can be my best self is through going through raw foods or electric foods, being that I'm a being of light, right? So I can honestly come to terms and say that I have had a problem doing that. I have had a problem doing an extended raw food fast for 40 days or, you know what I'm saying? And all those are things that I am willing to work on and have. But I think with having somebody to hold you accountable or to be that, because I loosely will use the word doctor, but to be that doctor or that person of advice or to keep you on it, because when you're doing stuff like that, you do, when you're fasting, you go through mental problems, you go through, you know, different things with your body that's new because your hormones and different things are working to heal you. So I would like help and
well, we will be there to help walk through it with you, and mm-hmm. and you know, I also encourage people to eat well, get your kidneys checked. A renal dietitian is an excellent resource to help you figure out what the precision plan should be for your eating and for your health. If you need to get your kidneys checked, we offer free screenings at the Texas Kidney Foundation. You can go to www.txkidney.org and look us up, see where we're at this week, and get a free screening. You're not by yourself, but you have to stand up, step out, and we can get it done together. And you've been listening to On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin here on 9:30 a.m. The Answer.
Real change in healthcare starts with you. It's not just about community engagement. It's about stepping into the political arena for the health of our people. We're calling on you to join our fight against rare and chronic kidney disease. With your involvement, we can reshape policy and transform local health. This is your moment to make a difference, to be a part of something bigger than you that values action over words. Join us and be the change you wish to see in our local community.